is 9 a.m. on February 6th, 2013, and you're listening to Good Morning Atlanta, sponsored by World Trade Center Atlanta on Business Radio X, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at atlantadowntown.com. I'm Dana Barrett.
And I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. This morning in the studio, we have three fantastic guests, two of them from our partner at World Trade Center Atlanta. Joseph Walker's here, the former director for the Tourism Development and the Georgia Economic Department of Economic Development. Joseph's a man of a lot of responsibilities and expertise, and we're curious to hear what he's got going on these days. Miss Matilda is with us as well, president of the Ghana World Chamber of Commerce. And we also have Lolita Snipes, the famous playwright, here to talk about Good God Almighty, a hilarious new musical that's here in Atlanta.
I know, opening February 14th, right?
That's correct.
I am super excited to have you here. I'm a theater junkie and kind of a wannabe. So, you know, we all have our thing. In fact, before we got into the headlines, I wanted to talk a little bit about the theater because completely at random, Lolita, but I went to the Fox last night to see Flashdance. And first of all, I loved it. We got free tickets because, I'm going to pretend I'm important, so not so. But we got free tickets because my boyfriend's parents actually are subscribers, and they didn't want to go to this one because, well, they're close to 80. And they just took one look at it and decided it was going to be too modern and too contemporary and too whatever. Yeah. And so they just gave us the tickets, which was great for me. But having seen the show now, first of all, I would argue that they would have loved it. Uh-huh. I mean, it really is just a traditional musical. It just happens to be set in the 80s with a little teeny bit of rock music. Uh-huh. A teeny, you know, and like a little teeny bit of bodiness, but so teeny that like. Anyway, my point in bringing all this up, Elizabeth, you know, I always have something to gripe about. And Lolita, I'm sure you can talk to this, but I am so irritated by the people who get up and leave before the curtain call.
I know.
Like, it's a football game.
Yeah.
It's not a football.
Yeah, they're trying to beat traffic.
Come
That's
on.
What it is.
I know, but come on.
I know. You can't
so
do that
rude.
At
so
no.
rude.
Right.
So rude.
Gotta be there for the curtain call.
I mean, listen, there are actors, as we all know, in this world who make a boatload of money. Mm-hmm. But the ones on the stage, that's not them.
Right.
So they're doing it in large part for your applause,
yes,
and your appreciation.
Absolutely.
And stop it.
Yeah.
Oh my. Right. I was so irritated. And people started. Oh my.
I agree.
I started boiling over. And I was like, I have my fodder for the morning show. I'm going to be talking about this. So if anyone is listening and you go to the theater and you think to do that, please think twice. Because it's just so rude.
Especially when you go to Good God Almighty. You don't want
yes.
to do that.
Yes, stay in your seat. You know, if you're going to stay, if you're going to get out of your seat, it should be for a standing ovation.
Absolutely.
That is the only reason.
And we have such a good ending. So if you leave my show early, you're going to really miss a treat.
And you know what? I'm going to stand right outside the door and chastise people for you.
Just a call of shame, maybe.
That's going to be a part of the feature of the show. Like Dana will be standing outside chastising early leavers. Jerks. All right. I think I got that off my chest. I feel better.
I'm glad.
All right.
So other than that, it was a lovely night.
Oh, my gosh. It was such a wonderful show. You know, we had a good time. I appreciate that I have the kind of boyfriend that's willing to take me to these kind of things because, you know, not all men are.
And actually stay there.
And actually right. stay. Yeah. Through the curtain call.
Don't fall asleep.
That's right.
Through the final, that's fourth right. quarter.
That's right.
my cousin always used to say when it was intermission, is this like halftime?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one thing to leave like a Rolling Stones concert. Mm-hmm. There's enough other people there that
sure.
no one's going to care.
Right.
But like, really? Oh, anyway. Okay. So a couple of weeks ago, Elizabeth, I made a pronouncement that we were going to have a list on every show. And then immediately the week after that, I couldn't find a single.
All the lists dried up. Yeah.
There were no lists. So to make up for that, I have two lists today.
Oh, goody.
Very excited. I love lists. For some reason, I just like finding out where Atlanta is on this and that list. Mm. So today, in honor of Valentine's Day coming up, I'd like to report that Atlanta is the nation's sexiest city.
Oh,
that's
really?
Right, people. Yeah.
Oh,
the
I
sexiest
can see that. Yeah. I can see that.
City. This is the dumbest survey.
What is the criteria?
This is the dumbest survey ever done. But I
no
love
one looking
it.
At me then.
No.
They look at somewhere else.
Now. Yeah. This is radio. Everyone could think you're like George Clooney sitting here. So let's
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Let's just let him go there.
Live the dream.
That's right. So first of all, I'm going to just let you in on the entire list. Atlanta, number one. Seattle, number two. Las Vegas, that makes sense to me, number three. San Diego, four. Dallas, five. Chicago, six, followed by Houston, Brooklyn, then New York, and then L.A. Now, I'm going to back it up here and tell you what the criteria is, because it really, to me, should not be called the sexiest. It should actually be called perhaps the most desperate, because the criteria was based on how many erotic novels are sold in a region. And apparently, we like our smut here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So that just says to me, like, if you're sitting at home on Valentine's Day reading an erotic novel, you're not necessarily sexy. You're probably the opposite of sexy. Right. So, okay. But anyway, it was a fun list. I couldn't help myself.
So New York should be one then, because there's Sarah Jessica Parker is there. So.
That's right. Yeah. Sex in the City. Exactly. Come on. Exactly. And L.A., I mean, everybody's walking around naked. Right. For sure. They're, it should be Amanda, number 10.
Yeah.
You know? How does Chicago even make the list? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No offense to the Midwest, but come on.
But they're all in such, like, bundled up winter coats right now. I don't know how you can.
In Texas?
I don't know. In Texas, I don't know, man.
I know. I don't think Texas either. I'm with you. All right. I'm going to get more serious a little bit, Elizabeth. Okay. Well, for about 30 seconds. So I was looking through the headlines, and for some reason, I always like to report the stories that have anything to do with Apple. I'm always drawn to the Apple stories because they're such a model of, you know, what companies should be doing. Anyway, there was this headline that talked about the fact that we can't seem to get one of those big glass box Apple stores here. And I think that's just because we're such a mall community, and right, so our big Apple stores are in our malls. However, there now is going to be a short-term pop-up Apple Museum in Roswell.
That's going to be big. Pop-up. 6,000 square feet.
6,000 square feet.
Oh.
But what is crazy about this story, it's like the history of all the old Apple computers, you know, that some of us in this room, not to date ourselves, might have used back in college or something. I'm just pointing at myself here, but this is the crazy part, okay? This is all part of the Vintage Computer Festival Southeast. And why that's crazy to me is that there's actually such a thing as the Vintage Computer Festival.
This is odd that computers are now making it into the antique world.
Right.
It's
really
bizarre.
Interesting. I mean, I have to say, I was in technology before I kind of went into media. And
me too.
Okay. Yeah, so, too. And I remember when laptops sort of first came out and they were like the size of, you know, like a suitcase.
Yes. The mainframe.
Don't date yourself like that. But they had, you know, the laptops had like these, they only had disk drives, no hard drives. And they were like, there were two disk drives with the floppy, the big floppy disk. Remember that? So apparently that's all museum worthy now. And there will be a 6,000 square foot pop-up museum attributing all of that. And Apple specifically gets 6,000 square feet, I think. And then there's all this other stuff too. And they said like video games will be there, like antique video games and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Maybe I can auction some of my stuff then for my
garden. Right.
I know this whole festival is around promoting the preservation of obsolete computers. Well, come over to my house.
Exactly.
I've got a basement full of obsolete computers.
I know. I think anyone with a garage or a basement.
Exactly. I know.
We could all open museums.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a brilliant idea. All right, moving on. Costco dropping Coca-Cola and picking up Pepsi.
Yikes.
What?
Yes. Now, I got really concerned when I saw that headline because I thought that meant they weren't going to sell Coke anymore. But what they're talking about is in their hot dog stands.
Oh.
Yeah, they do that $1.50 hot dog and a Coke deal or whatever. Well, now it's $1.50 hot dog and a Pepsi deal. And of course, Costco's not located here. Like, their headquarters, so they don't really have that same like affinity for Coke that we do here. It's like sacrilege here.
Absolutely.
I know.
Traitors. I just don't get into Pepsi too much, though. I just never have. Maybe
I know.
It's because I'm from Atlanta. But, you know,
definitely. Why?
They definitely
not a
taste
guy.
Different.
They do.
They taste different.
It's just not the same.
Yeah.
I remember, I think it was it Panera Bread Company or one of those, when they first came here, they had Pepsi, and people were in an outrage. They were like, I'm sorry, but I need Coke. And now they actually, I think because their chain also nationwide carries Pepsi, but here they carry both.
Yeah.
Because there's no way. People just weren't going to go there if they couldn't get their Coke.
That's right.
That's true.
So it'll be interesting to see if it changes anything at Costco, at least Atlanta. I think Atlanta hot dog and a quote-unquote Coke sales are going to go down.
I do too.
People have to go in the store, get a 2 liter of Coke, and then come outside and get their hot dog.
Yeah.
That's how loyal we are.
Really, I do think so. I think that's going to be I mean, it made the headlines here. So,
it's huge.
Yeah, I think it is too. And speaking of huge... The Howell Mill District over there, on the West Side.
It's booming.
Yeah.
I love it.
There was an article about, we looked at condos over there too, and I sent my boyfriend this link too this morning because I was like, because we didn't end up buying over there. He didn't love it. Mm-hmm. But because it's transitional.
Still up and coming.
You have Absolutely. To use your imagination. Yeah. Like you look out the window from some of the condos over there and you are looking at like train tracks right. or like mm-hmm. tractor
yeah.
farms, and it's not pretty, but you have to use your imagination because mm-hmm, yeah. it's coming, people. So I sent him the link to this story is kind of like a, But
the most hip district in
right.
Atlanta.
Like they're equating it with like the meatpacking district in New York. And I mean, you know, it's really, they're saying there's more and more development happening. So it's the hot place to be. I think it's still early enough to get in over there if you've got a business mm-hmm. that you're looking to locate somewhere, or if you've if you're looking for a residence or whatever. I still think there's a lot of deals right. to be had because it's not there yet.
And it's yeah. such a perfect location, right, in between downtown and midtown.
Right.
Easy access to all of that, plus the highway.
Great for 75.
Yeah.
And
the roads are good over there.
Yeah, and it's there's some great restaurants over mm-hmm. there, and
yeah.
Some really nice shopping
areas.
And yeah. So I. Just wanted to mention that, so anybody looking or thinking about business that was like focused on the areas they are so familiar with and comfortable with, looking for an office in Buckhead or, you know, here in downtown or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, to branch out a little bit, because it's going to be a good investment over there.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see real estate recovering overall, and so some of the trends that kind of paused during the downturn are now back on.
Yeah, I really think we're going to hear a lot of machinery moving yeah. in the next, you know, 12 to 24 months.
And with all the talk about, you know, Atlanta traffic, I think that the Howell Mill area, I mean, it has great places to live, great places to work, great places to eat. I think it's a fantastic area. And you don't have to sit in traffic for an hour or two every morning or afternoon.
Right.
I think it's a great
Which
deal.
Which I did today.
I live just off of Howell Mill. It took me about 15 minutes to get
See,
here.
There,
yeah.
yeah.
There you go.
Wouldn't
a
change
testament
it.
To, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
to go an hour and a half.
Yeah, and you know, that is actually, we have Central Atlanta Progress on here fairly regularly, and they talk about all the time that there's so much more of a trend now for people to live in Atlanta proper,
yeah.
in Midtown, in Buckhead, in the city, on the West Side because of that. Like people are just, and you know what, that segues me so perfectly into my final list for the day, mm-hmm. which is that Atlanta and Chicago tie for the 7th worst commute. Wah, wah. So sad. Yeah. In Atlanta, the study says traffic caused drivers to spend an extra, wait for it, 51 hours behind the wheel. An extra 51
extra.
Hours
wow.
behind the wheel. That is not fun.
Yeah. Because I see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't sit in it.
I live
it. I see it.
Yeah.
Now, I personally listen to audiobooks.
The opposite direction.
Yeah. I listen to audiobooks in the car, so I don't get like road rage or anything, so yeah. I'm okay, but I see people getting seriously bent out of shape.
Yeah.
Now, the worst commutes start with Washington, D.C., 67
yeah.
hours of delay there. San Francisco, Oakland area, and Los Angeles tie for number 2. And New York, Newark, number 4. Number 5, Boston. Number 6, Houston. Atlanta, again, and Chicago tying for number 7. And Philly and Seattle tying for number 9. So we can't even move back home, Elizabeth. We're screwed no matter what.
Enjoy these inside the perimeter commute.
That's right.
Luxury.
You know what I did notice, though, and I'm gonna throw us under the bus, literally, is that a lot of the cities that are reporting the worst commutes have good public transportation. We're a little lacking.
Yes.
Sorry, Atlanta,
yeah.
but we're a little lacking in the public transit
yeah.
side of
yeah.
things.
And the sidewalks, too.
And the sidewalks, too. And we've talked about all
this
of that.
This is true.
Yeah.
yeah.
We've talked about all
this
of that here.
Building.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of reinvestment you're seeing mm-hmm. in the infrastructure.
Yeah. We're getting there.
Yeah.
But we have still a ways to go. I would like us to not be on that list. You know, even if we could just squeak down to number 11.
It's huge. Because just quality of life in that time is becoming more and more important. We were talking about the trend of people moving more in town. And I think as you see, you know, Gen Y kind of take over the workforce,
mm-hmm. yeah.
they don't want a gigantic house in the suburbs and an hour and a half commute
mm-hmm.
each way. So.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Though those giant houses in the suburbs are kind of enticing. I do understand the lure.
I'm willing to give it up. So I was actually working on it last week, and I was like, I'll take a studio downtown
yeah.
and give up everything.
Yeah.
You know, my only problem is the schools. So
yeah.
I love scouting the schools because I have a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
So apart from that.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I actually did. I moved out to the suburbs for my daughter's schooling,
yeah.
and literally the second she went off to college, I moved into a loft in Midtown.
Yeah,
like so, goodbye. Yeah, yeah. There's my desk. Like done. So yeah, you got to do what you got to do. But
But my wife brought out an excellent point because we live part of the year in Brazil and we live part of the year here. And when I brought her here about 5 years ago, I said, "Look, honey, we can have this nice suburban house. Look how big it is." And she said, "Honey, this is beautiful. Yeah, wow, what a great opportunity." And who's going to be doing the lawn and the daily cleaning of the five rooms? And I said, "Okay, back inside the loop."
Right. Let's go back to the part-time in Brazil. That's a pretty nice life.
I know, right? Can we come with you?
You really?
Absolutely.
Okay, done and done. All right, let's move on to our guest, Elizabeth. I think it's time.
All right.
I think we made a commitment to start with the lovely Lolita. Do you get that a lot? People calling you the lovely
Lolita?
Yes,
indeed, all the time.
Yeah, it works. It flows. So talk to us. You're here. Do you live here?
I live here. I am born and raised here.
Okay.
We lived in Orlando, Florida for about 15 years and came back here about 5 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And have you always been a writer? Have you always been drawn to the theater? Like, give me your background a little
bit. Actually, I went to Woodward Academy in high school and then on to Georgia State. And I always liked to write. But, you know, in Atlanta, it's not a real entertainment city as far as the history of the city goes. And so when I was growing up, you either went to school to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an accountant, or a business person. So I went to Georgia State and majored in marketing. But I always wrote on the side, and I just considered it a hobby. And my mother put us in piano lessons when we were children. And so it was something that I did on the side. I never thought that I could make a career out of. And when we moved to Orlando, Florida, I moved to worked in the entertainment industry down there for a record label. And I got my feet wet writing the scripts and stuff for the music videos and stuff like that. And just went to school for film and theater and started writing from that standpoint.
I love hearing people's histories like that because I swear – I'm not making this up. Elizabeth and I grabbed lunch together yesterday, and we had this exact conversation. I don't know if it was an era thing, but we were all raised to go to school to be a lawyer, a doctor, an accountant.
Right.
Like, you know, we were not supposed to do anything fun for a career.
Right.
What was that about?
Right.
Money.
So I tapped into something. At that point, I realized I could probably do this for a career and started writing scripts. And I started out actually writing scripts for the local church down in Orlando and then went on to write nationally and did my first national play. And now we're here with Good God Almighty opening at the 14th Street Playhouse.
That's so exciting.
Valentine's night through the 24th.
Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much. And it stars Tony Award winner Melba Moore.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about that.
And talk a little bit about the story.
Well, it is a comedy and it is set in the South. And a very good looking New York pastor is coming down to take over a Southern congregation. And they are not too happy about it, except for two old mothers who have fallen in love with him. But it's a conscious comedy and it ends up being about how we treat people. And the theme of the play ends up being about a homeless person and how the people in the church walk past this homeless person the entire time. And they're more concerned about how the church looks, the aesthetics of how things look, their status in life and things of that nature. And they're constantly walking past this homeless person. So it touches on how we treat people in the church. And it's a universal story. It's not about one particular church or religion. It is about just having a relationship with God versus being caught up in the religion of the rituals of what we do sometimes in our religion. And we sometimes forget about how we treat people. So it's done in a comedic fashion so that we can sort of send the message. And the music is fantastic. Melba Moore is here and we are in rehearsals. And when I tell you, she is a phenomenal actress and a phenomenal singer. And we are so excited about the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds extremely interesting.
It
really
is.
Does.
It is, and I'm honored to work with her.
How exciting is it to see it actually come to life with actors and music? And
you know, the process from the writing to the production is nothing like it. To be able to see something that you have written and created and see it brought to the stage. This is our second run. The first run We didn't have a real big budget, and we hit some of the, it's called the Chitlin' Circuit, where you hit the little small towns in the South. And so to be able to remount it and bring it back with a star of her caliber is just nothing like it, to see it bloom and blossom to this degree. And I did some rewrites on it and, you know, touched it up and made it better. And it also stars some BET comedians, HBO comedians, just June and Dante Carter. And so they bring the comedic aspect to it. And Melba actually plays the antagonist who has her reversal in recognition by the end. And it has a little punchline. I won't give it away because you got to come and see it.
That's right.
And but like I said, it's playing at the 14th Street Playhouse February 14th, Valentine's weekend. And it runs through the 24th. And we are so excited about it.
Yeah, it's that sounds amazing. I can't.
Hilarious.
Really can't wait to see it.
I'm sure that, it's going to be.
So before we get too far away, and while I'm thinking about it, let's make sure people know how to get to tickets.
Oh, okay, yes, indeed. You can get it from the Woodruff Art Center box office, or you can visit LolitaSnipesProductions.com, and there's an icon right there to buy tickets. And the ticket sales are doing very well. I'm very excited about the aspect of it selling out
and
it being a runaway success
in
Atlanta.
Well, of course. You know, I wonder sometimes, I have some friends that are novel writers, not playwrights, but who write with some humor. And I always am sort of interested in and amazed at how a writer can sort of still kind of weave humor into a serious message or
yes.
a serious topic.
Mm-hmm.
When you're writing, what's that like for you?
Well, it's interesting because I have a little secret to my writing that I can't give away, but it's almost as if I get help from the higher power. I sort of have a ritual where I pray first and ask God for guidance on how to do it. And then I have a system to which I do it. And if I hear things funny, I sort of write it down, jot it down, put it in a box. And then when I go to format the story, then I find just little ways to add the comedic relief to it. And so that's my little secret.
All right. Now, on the downside of all this, have you ever put something in that you thought was hilarious and like, you know, one of your friends read it mm-hmm. before and they said, no, that is just not funny?
Actually, I would have table reads at my house in Florida from my peers, because then you have a group of people. If you hire them, they'll tell you everything is good. So you
right,
don't want
right.
those people around the table. You want your friends
I like
who
those
don't
people.
Care how you, you know,
wait a
what
minute.
You think about
I
what they say. And so I get a lot of feedback and, you know, certain things I would read and then I would fall out laughing and everybody else is sort of stone facing me. I'm like, okay, that didn't work. So, you just go back to the drawing board. And then when you get the whole room laughing, then you know you got something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. Just checking. Elizabeth, did I cover everything? I'm hogging the mic right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. I mean, religion is often such a serious and mm-hmm. contentious topic, especially here in the South. You know, people get pretty serious about their church going. Mm-hmm. So the idea of interspersing some humor into it and giving people insight into, you know, getting back to the true message,
right.
I think
mm-hmm.
is fascinating.
And also it touches on the African-American church. We have gotten away from some of the rituals that they used to do in the church back in the day. So it sort of preserves the culture of the Black church.
You know, one of the things that I automatically think of when you say that, and obviously, well, not obviously, this is radio, but I'm not Black, just in case anyone's wondering. But I think of like the hats, you know, and like the outfits and stuff
yes.
like that. And I'm just going to bring this back to theater attendees in general, because mm-hmm. again, last night, my other sort of gripe was the way people were dressed for the theater. Now, granted, it was a Tuesday night. So it's a little bit, it should be a little bit more relaxed, mm-hmm. I think. But I sort of appreciate, just like people dressing for church, I sort of appreciate people dressing for the theater.
I agree.
And, you know, I hate to say like no jeans, because, you know, sometimes a nice looking man can put on a nice looking pair of jeans and a blazer.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't know how to draw the line.
Right. I agree.
And then you have the crazy people on the other side. I'm off on a tangent, but there was a woman, I swear to God, she had to be 50 if she was a day. And she was, if she was not wearing a prom dress, I should be struck down right now. That thing was a prom dress.
Maybe that's all she had in that closet.
But it was
too.
Tuesday night.
Yeah,
put the prom dress away.
Yeah.
And you're 50. Stop it.
I just stopped by a thrift store or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It's not good. So I wish that, you know, I appreciate that everything and anything goes in this day and age, mm-hmm. But I sort of wish there were some baselines.
Some rules.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for church.
Some societal rules.
For theater, mm-hmm. for business, yeah, sure. You know, like, just come on, people. Yeah. Come on. Common sense. For the love of God. No pun intended. All right. So once again, before we leave Lolita, totally, Good God Almighty.
Good God Almighty.
Opens February 14th at the 14th Street Playhouse. Mm-hmm. Tickets available through the Woodruff Arts Center through your website, mm-hmm. LolitaSnipesProductions.com. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
All right. Excellent.
Great. Valentine's weekend.
Yeah. That's fun. A great idea. Great. Dinner and a show.
Yeah, dinner and a show. There you go.
Women love that. Yes, just saying.
Guys. Are
just
you listening?
Saying, Joseph Walker. Just saying. All right. Hint, hint. All right. Let's move on, shall we? Do you want to? Do you want to captain the ship for a few minutes?
Sure.
Let's bring
Joseph on the stage here to talk about what he's doing with International Travel Marketing Solutions. Now, before you joined ITMS, Joseph, you are the head of the Atlanta Rio de Janeiro Sister City Committee, and you've just done a lot with it, promoting international tourism and travel, international business. Let me have you talk about your background and how you got into all of this, how you've gotten all these great opportunities to travel and enhance tourism.
I'll try and give you the 1-minute version.
And then we'll just ask you lots of stupid questions.
I have lived at least half my life outside of the United States, although originally I am from Atlanta, and I've lived in Italy for 17 years.
Wow.
I lived in Brazil for 5.5 years, and now I live half the year in Brazil and half the year here in Atlanta. I've worked with tourism and entertainment for many years. I started out as the director of the USOs in Italy, handling all of the U.S. military and government entertainment tours and cultural tours in Italy as well as all over Europe. Then I was the director of the largest receptive tour operator in Brazil, based out of Rio de Janeiro. And then I came back to Georgia, where I was the director of business development for the Georgia Department of Economic Development for tourism. And that was great fun because we got to bring in a lot of Brazilians as well as Chinese, Italian, French, Germans, and Brits to develop our tourism industry for the state. And we were up 15.9%. We really rocked it for those couple years that I was there. But my passion is Brazil, and I wanted to focus primarily on Brazil. And plus, when I was working for the state, which I loved, I couldn't live half the year in Brazil. So we have to make choices in life.
Yeah.
And so I went back to the private sector, and I'm now the chairman of the Atlanta Rio de Janeiro Sister Cities Committee. And we promote educational, cultural, and business ties between Atlanta and Rio.
I think you need Rio Business Radio X. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. There you
Hosted by Dana Barrett.
There you go. That sounds good. And right now, my company is ITMS, and we focus primarily in travel and educational, but we do a lot of things. What we do, if you are a Georgia or Atlanta, well, you can be anywhere from the U.S., but most of our clients come from Georgia. If you are from Georgia and you want Brazilians to utilize your product, maybe you're a hotel, maybe you're a city, maybe you have a play, maybe you have any type of business, but you want Brazilians because they spend a lot of money. And
it's growing. I mean, Brazil is one of the highest growth regions in the world right now.
Right. They're edging on to be the world's number 5 economy right now. And even in the state of Georgia, when I started at the Georgia Department of Economic Development, as a source market, we're talking money spent, Brazil was the 8th most important source market. You know, it's important, but not that important. Right now, in money spent, it's the 2nd most important source market for the state of Georgia. They don't come in the numbers as maybe the Brits or the Germans, for example, but they spend a lot more money.
Interesting. Why is that? What's that about?
They just have a lot of money right now.
Okay. All right. That's good.
You know,
booming
just
middle class, booming economic development.
Yes. Just in Rio de Janeiro, in the next few years, they're putting 35 billion with a B dollars of infrastructure money to get ready for the World Cup in 2014 and the Olympics for 2016.
Yes. Wow.
But through 2020, they're going to spend over $100 billion in Rio de Janeiro city and state for infrastructure. Unemployment is very, very low there. So what this means that if you are a Georgia company and you're looking for international markets that are actually – that have the money to buy your products or services, hey – Brazil right now, there's not a problem. If you tell a Brazilian, I have a two-week package to Orlando, it's $5,000 per person, you're thinking, well, you're a family of four. That's 20K. I don't know about you, but as an American, 20K,
That's not happening for most people.
That's not happening. But for a Brazilian right now, especially in Rio and São Paulo and a couple of these other more affluent cities, 20K, that's not really a bad price.
Jeez.
And they come. Brazilian tourism is expected to increase by double digits through 2017. Why is this important? Because there's already 1.7 million Brazilians visiting the United States. There are 1.5 million Brazilians who visit Orlando every year alone. Now, we're sitting up here in Georgia. What do we have to do? We have this huge industry market down in Florida. We're only a six-hour drive or a 50-minute flight from Orlando.
Do you think we need to maybe invite Mickey to come up here and then maybe the Brazilians will follow?
Just absolutely.
Saying. Like the Pied Piper. I have Mickey.
Absolutely. So, but we at ITMS, we're very proud to have our relationship with the World Trade Center. And what we've done is we also have offices in Rio de Janeiro. We're just to the right of the American consulate in the business sector of Rio. And if you are a member of the World Trade Center here in Atlanta, if you're doing any type of business and you contact me, I will open up our offices and give you free office space to do your business.
Wow.
And now this is a limited time now. You can't stay days.
Call now.
We will make that happen because we really want, as ITMS and as the Atlanta Rio de Janeiro sister cities, we really want people from Rio to feel comfortable here in Atlanta, and we want people from Atlanta to feel very comfortable and be able to do business in Rio de Janeiro and Brazil.
Very interesting. Elizabeth, do you have any business to do?
What are some of the things that when people think about entering the Brazilian market that they need to know or they might be surprised at when they're looking at this as a business opportunity? But obviously, there's a lot that goes along with entering a foreign market. So what do people need to know about Brazil?
It takes time. To be very honest with you, it's all about the relationship. I can't tell you how many missions, trade missions that go down to Brazil and our companies that go down to Brazil and they come back saying, wow, I'm going to do great business. But then not much really happens. Brazilians are extremely gracious. They're a very courteous and nice people. But in order for them to really do business with you, if you haven't gone to the churrascaria, that's the Brazilian barbecue, if you haven't gone to the churrascaria or met the family, you're probably not ready to do business with a Brazilian yet. So what we try and do is that we try and help businesses, and it's not just travel, it's any business. We try and help them navigate the cultural hurdles in Brazil. We try and give them a little bit more of a presence in Brazil. We try and set up things that when you land and you're in, for example, Rio de Janeiro, you don't just start to do the business. Mm-hmm. You have to take a day or two of tourism. And we say, oh, that sounds like fun. That sounds like a junket. Okay. No, you have to see the Christ statue, the Corcovado, the sugar loaf. You have to explore the beaches of Ipanema and Copacabana. You have to go to Porcão Rios to eat that wonderful churrasco, because these elements create the base for your conversations for the rest of the week to do business with Brazilians.
Okay, can we go right now, please? Yeah. Somebody, can we just get a flight? Let's
so
go.
It's kind of like a handshake for the culture. You know, that's what yes. many people, many businesses fail to understand, that when you go outside the country, you have to make a handshake, have a handshake with the culture, because we
well
speak
said.
Two different languages. We have two different cultures. And so once you get to do that, you definitely on the right path in making your business work.
That is exactly
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And then we try and once you've met your business appointments, et cetera, you're yeah. feeling good. For those of you know the companies who are our clients, we try and keep the relationship going. That could be a cafe, that could be a chopp, which is a very light Brazilian beer that's meant for the 95-degree temperatures. Okay. And we try and keep that relationship going and building, because once a Brazilian feels comfortable with you, they're a little harder to get started. But once they start, the business relationship goes on for years.
Yes.
So it's worth investing yes. in upfront and really understanding those cultural nuances, really getting excited about Brazil.
Absolutely.
It's kind of sad that if someone wants to like get in, you know, in touch with our culture, well, A, they probably already know from another country just by watching TV, and B, like in some to some extent, like it's kind of all the same no matter where you get. You know, there's local flavor in every
yes.
city, obviously, but you know, like if you hit a Starbucks and you know a mall and a McDonald's and you know,
drink
you,
a couple Coca-Colas, hang
out with Mickey for a little while,
and you're an American,
right? You're good to go.
But there's a lot of things, though, that we can do here in Atlanta. One of the things that we're working on right now is a business English course to bring Brazilians up to Atlanta to study actually inside of the World Trade Center, American business English and American business culture. This is going to be bringing in hundreds of Brazilians that are going to be staying for weeks, spending a lot of money in our hotels and our restaurants. And
going to see shows at the 14th Street Playhouse.
Yeah. Exactly. And the great thing about this is going to create cultural ties.
Yes.
They're going to meet people here. People are going to say, what do you do? And before you know it, you've got people from Atlanta going to Brazil and more Brazilians coming up here. So we've got to be able to do that. We also are hosting in our offices in Rio de Janeiro Portuguese language, survival Portuguese language, and Brazilian business cultural courses, so that our good folk here, when they're going down to Brazil, if they have time and they want to, can get a little bit more into the culture so that they can falar português, so that they can speak Portuguese, or at least pretend enough to to be at ease. But this is what it's all about. I got into this business through tourism because I love tourism. I love seeing the world. But at the end of the day, tourism is business. If you get the people coming, they will come from all walks of life, all types of business, and then they will see opportunities here in Atlanta, and they will begin to spend their money and invest in Atlanta, which is investing in us.
Awesome. So people wanting to get in touch with you would do that how?
The best way is probably by email, which is joseph.walker@itmsbrazil.com.
Now I'm going to have to bring up the business card conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because before the show started, we all started exchanging business cards. That's what we do. It's a business radio station when I'm not around anyway.
Business cards are fun.
So we start, and everybody in the room was like, oh, yeah, I have multiple cards. I have this card for this and this card for that. And can you scratch out the .com on that and make it a .org and whatever? Like, that, you know, it's so funny. And we really should be going paperless. And instead, we have cards coming out of our eyeballs. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I got two cards from Joseph, and mm-hmm. he just gave the correct information. So one more time.
Joseph.walker@itmsbrazil.com.
And all the information about sort of working, you'll talk to them about getting involved in Brazil and working down there. And
that is it. On our website, which is itmsbrazil.com, you can see a little bit about what we do, but you're more than welcome to email us. We can set up an appointment, and we will talk to you about what your aspirations are in Brazil or what your aspirations are here in Atlanta for having Brazilians come and buy your products or services.
And we have to give a shout out to the World Trade Center also, because it sounds like
they're wonderful.
Some great programs over there for people interested as well. So thanks to Lilia for always bringing us great guests.
We love Lilia.
From the World Trade Center. Everybody loves Lilia. How could you not? She's awesome. Should we move on, my friend Elizabeth?
Sure. I mean, I think
we're working our way around the table.
Feel free to chime in as we go here, but let's have Miss Matilda tell us more about the Ghana World Chamber of Commerce.
I probably can end this conversation because Joseph basically touched on everything that Ghana World Chamber of Commerce stands for. And we are also on the same level in terms of Ghana is an emerging country. And the vision that people have of Africa is always not the prettiest, you know, like hand-me-outs, hand-me-downs. And we wanted to change the face of Ghana because Ghana is an emerging market. New York Times 2 or 3 weeks ago listed Ghana as number 4th countries to visit, which is not, it's rare that an African country makes it to that list.
Yeah.
You know, it's an emerging continent, and we were sitting down at the table, and we realized that treasure is found underground, gold, diamond, all those things. All these things are found in Ghana. It's, you know, and we have oil, we have cocoa, we have everything else. So we decided to talk to a couple of people to see what we can do to put Ghana on the same level on the map that Brazilian is on. And we realized that there's no platform. So we created this Ghana World Chamber of Commerce, and it's gained a lot of recognition, and people are ready to do business with Ghana. They just didn't know how. And like Joseph was touching on it, there's a culture. So many people go there, they don't understand the business aspect, and it doesn't do well. And we have a lot of people, too, that also do a lot of fraud, because when you mention the name of Nigeria, everybody looks at risk and fraud. But on that aspect, if you know the culture, you do know what to do when you get to the country, who to talk to. And Ghana World Chamber of Commerce is partnered with a lot of organizations down there, so that somebody wants to do business in Ghana or vice versa will be the medium to be able to vouch these companies and let them know who to do business with and how to do business. So we also partner with so many other companies to be able to accomplish what Joseph is doing, you know, in terms of the language barrier, mm-hmm. bringing people over here, in terms of health, economic development, and then women issues as well. So we partner with Lilia to do our first event is International Women's Day, which falls on the 8th of March. But we're doing a pre-event on the 7th of March at the state capitol. We partner with Senator Donzella James to do this event at the state capitol. And then the next day on the 8th, we're doing the event itself at the World Trade Center with Lilia. So if anybody is interested in doing business with Ghana, they can basically go to the website or contact us, and then we can make it happen.
Now, I'm going to see if I get this right. People that live in Ghana, Ghanaians, is that
Ghanaians,
right?
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of Ghanaians speak English, though, right? Yeah, pretty well.
English is our first language. We have 13 different dialects, so we won't even touch that.
One of my much younger sisters actually did I think 6 months or even maybe more in Ghana doing a study abroad program. Mm-hmm. And so I got to learn sort of through her, and actually I ended up going over and meeting her in Senegal actually for a little vacation on the beach in Senegal, which was
beautiful.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't actually myself get to Ghana, but I did learn a little bit about it from her. Yeah. And you know, I think the fact that people don't even realize, I think, which countries in Africa are English speaking and which speak French and which speak, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think that also adds to maybe some of the confusion about trying to figure out where to do business in Africa.
Yeah. I mean, with the information super or whatever, the internet, you can basically Google the English speaking countries. You can find out which in terms of colonization, you know, if you see British colonization, you know, they speak English.
Exactly.
If you see French, you know, they speak, you know, French. So it is pretty simple to find that out, you know. And this is where the Chamber of Commerce come in.
Right.
And somehow it looks like in this room, I connect with each and everyone. We have the Minister of Tourism coming actually for that event. And then I'm also in the movie production business, so it's like a family circle here, right here in Atlanta, and Ghana, and actually Nigeria, movie industry is the number 2 money grossing industry right now in the world. It used to be Hollywood, Bollywood, now it's Hollywood and Nollywood. Mm-hmm. So we're also in that industry as well, and we're putting that as that connection also with the Ghana World Chamber of Commerce, so that if people want to do business back and forth, we can also make it happen. We have producers there, we have producers here, and actually we're working on a huge project that I probably need to talk to you about
after the show.
Right, exactly, you know. So
good God Almighty, the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my background also I've traveled a lot. I lived in Switzerland for 10 years. That's where I went to school, lived in Ghana, lived here, and I'm very international. So,
yeah.
I've heard a lot of wonderful things about Ghana, and I would really hope that the people who are listening here in Atlanta mm-hmm. will reach out across the world and to try and do some international business. Yeah. For example, Brazil's success is not based upon looking at what we would call some of the older markets, the United States alone and Europe. Mm-hmm. It is based with looking at everybody, and that includes Africa. Mm-hmm. Brazil has extremely good ties with several African nations, including Ghana. And Ghana and Brazil are doing a lot of business, and it keeps growing. Yeah. So we have to be on that same world platform here.
Yeah, that's what another thing that I'm trying to do, because it looks like originally Chinese people were ready to do business with Africa. That is why we have the Chinese presence there. And our goal is basically to get Europeans and USA, also America, mm-hmm. to also do business, because now that we are understanding in the U.S., that it is important to also shake hands with the African countries and be ready, because Chinese people were ready. That is why we have what we have right now. But hope to change it.
It's good to diversify the markets as well, because sometimes markets go up and sometimes they go down. Yeah. And if you're only dealing with one market, mm-hmm. then it gets kind of complicated, as we found out the last few years.
Right. So something happens.
Important to have an internationally diversified portfolio. Exactly. Tell us a little bit more about some of the industry sectors or areas of opportunity in Ghana, because I think education is sort of the first step of people understanding, oh, that would be a good market for me to look into.
Yeah, education, we are trying to I'm partnering with another organization called IMSS, International Medical Support Services, to bring doctors and other people here for training, and then mm-hmm. we take them back home to basically practice what they need to practice, and we're also taking doctors back home, back and forth. But what is going on right now in Ghana is, of course, gold and cocoa. Ghana is the lead market in terms of cocoa, so every product you eat, that's chocolate, might have something from Ghana in there. And then we have the shea nut, which is the shea butter, which is everywhere now. Almost in all the chocolate, too, when you read the fine print, you see it has shea nut in there. So most of the product in Ghana is everywhere on the different continents, not only in Ghana. So we have the oil, we have BP, Chevron, they are all in Ghana because of the oil that they found, and almost every 2.5 weeks they find some form of natural resource somewhere. So
and so
welcome
those, very rich, all those resources. Companies kind of coming in and having a presence there has been positive for
very positive very especially the American and the European companies, because when American and European companies come, they work and they fix it. You know, they don't just deplete and go. You know, whatever they do, they think about sustainability. They think about the environment, which is good for the country. That's why we are promoting Ghana World Chamber of Commerce on the European and the United States.
Yeah, because I know kind of back in the old days, you know, countries like ours and mm-hmm. European countries would sort of come in and do exactly what you're saying, sort of, you know, take advantage and come and take what they wanted and leave. And so it's good to hear that that's not happening.
Yeah, it's changing, and I love that.
Because, I mean, that's something that we should not be proud of. That's not a good thing. I mean, I think sustainability and, you know, all of those things are obviously, if there's flourishing economies on both sides, everyone benefits, you know. And I think we as a people generally are getting to that understanding. So that's positive. Entertainment industry, movie making there. Talk about that.
Well, Nollywood, Africans, they entertain themselves with, we love entertainment, just like Brazil, you know. We love entertainment, so anything with entertainment, we buy into it, and we spend a lot of money, proven that we spend a lot of money. So the movie, almost every week, there's a new movie that comes out. They might not make it to the big screen, but people buy DVDs or they stream it online. So it used to be number 3, like I was saying, but now it's number 2, money grows in industry. And most of the governments even have invested money in there, and they give, I think, Georgia State, I'm not sure, one of the colleges here in Atlanta to study why that industry is making so much money. So there's a study going on why we're making, but we are loyal. And Maya Angelou said, for example, that while the world was improving on technology, Ghana, for example, was improving on hospitality. This is how we are. Ghana people are very hospitable. We're entertaining. We'll quit our job or we just take off 2-3 hours extra to entertain a guest. This is what we do.
Yeah. And, I love these other cultures. Yeah. I want to go to both places. I know, right?
It's not about work alone. It's about work and fun, you know, and family. So.
I think Lolita needs to create an international touring version.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking about all of that right now.
Yeah. And then I'll just go and stand at the door and chastise people who leave early.
There you go.
Exactly. And now Atlanta has become also the movie production kind of hub now of the South.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some of the African producers are also partnering with producers here, and they're making movies here. And actually, like two movies that I did last year. The movies here, and they partner with Atlanta Film Festival, getting events done as well. So
that's really cool. How did we manage to get all the right people in the room at the same time?
I know, right? All part of the magic. I love it. How's the infrastructure in Ghana if a company wants to set up shop and get access to the rest of the African markets?
That is the only negative aspect of the Ghana emerging market that we're going on, but they're working on it. So I think the economy grew so fast. They're working hard to catch up with the infrastructure. So they've subcontracted, they're working on making that possible and making it first class level, first country level, so that people will find it easier to basically live there. Like, we have water issues, we have electricity issues, so we also working on partnering up with companies here in the U.S. To basically do the renewable energy back there so that we'll not have to go through these problems that we have now. So infrastructure.
I mean, you know, one of the interesting things about coming at it sort of quote-unquote late like this is that in a way you could end up with a way better system because, you're coming
right.
now.
You bypass like wires and you just and make everything
and you bypass the 80s.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You bypass the bad hair days.
Yeah. And we're watching everybody's mistakes.
Right.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We get the best of both worlds. Yeah, which is,
I mean, you know, how many cities in the U.S. have problems right now because they're trying to deal with outdated and broken down infrastructure?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, in a way, it's not so much that, you might actually be sort of almost in the same position. It's just that you're coming from not having it
exactly.
and we're coming from having broken.
Yeah.
You know?
But plus the opportunities occur when the infrastructure is being built. For example, in Brazil, they say that you'll always get your piece of cake if you contributed to the making of the cake or you're bringing flour, so to speak. But if the cake is already made, then the people who contributed to the making of that cake are not going to be so they're not going to give you a piece of cake.
Passing out slices.
Yeah, there's room for everybody, you know, so everybody's growing. It's an emerging market. I mean, it's beautiful when you go there to see how things are changing, because when I left there originally, it was really sad to see how the country was, and they were more we're trying to erase there's a saying that Africans buy what they want and beg for what they need. And we're trying to erase that because it shouldn't be like that. We have everything we need in Africa, so we shouldn't buy what we want and then beg for what we need. So we're trying to change that. And I think the people there now is also changing, because most of the government, we used to have government officials that were quote-unquote uneducated. Now we have governments in place, like the president, that are educated outside the country. So they take the concept of the first world into the country and changing everything. And people are now beginning to understand that, hey, this is where I live. I'm going to be here tomorrow and the next generation. So I have to basically change my mindset in terms of how I do business and how I treat things over here.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Yeah. Fascinating. Direct flights from Delta, right?
Delta just took that off in August.
No.
So you have to go through New York, and we're actually going to talk to Delta. So Delta, if you're listening, I don't understand why you cut a direct flight to Delta, to Ghana. Let's talk about
that. Let's put that back.
Put that back. Yeah.
Yeah,
but they do listen because we've sent them messages before.
Right. Okay. Everything
routes.
They do is because it happens right here on the show.
Exactly. Thank you, Lilia, World Trade Center.
That's right. And so, but if people want to get in touch with you and learn more about doing business in Ghana, how do they do that?
They can go to the ghanawcc.org, or they can contact me directly It's 770-265-4761. That's my personal phone number, and I'm up like 24 hours a day. People ask me, do you sleep? Yes, I do sleep, but this is very important to me and changing a generation. So I'm willing to forego sleep. So call me or go to the site and send us an email.
Okay.
We'll get in touch with you.
I love your passion around this mission. It's very exciting work. It's wonderful to meet such people that have kind of created interesting careers for themselves based on their passions.
Absolutely. We're all about that. Right. Should do what you love.
Exactly.
Do what you love.
Exactly.
I had the opportunity earlier in the week to interview the CEO of Cousins Properties, and I asked him for, you know, sort of a tip for people coming up, and the very first thing he said was, do what you love.
Yes.
And everybody in this room is clearly doing that. Yeah. And if you do what you love, you'll be successful. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to just pick something because you think it's going to make you money, you might as well hang it up.
Yes.
Because it ain't going to happen.
That's true.
So we're all about that. It should be like the motto of our show. Do what you love.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
All right. Well, is there anything we didn't cover?
I think we're about out of time here, Dana. We could go on all day.
Always.
You know, but there is work to be done out there in building the economy.
Absolutely.
So we're going to have to let our fabulous guests go. But we definitely want to thank Joseph Walker and Miss Matilda and Miss Lolita Snipes for coming into the studio today.
That's right.
It's great to get to know you guys.
Absolutely. And of course,
glad
also
to be here.
Thank you all.
Our pleasure. And of course, again, thanks to Lilia and our sponsor, World Trade Center. Learn more about World Trade Center by visiting WTCAtlanta.com. I'm Dana Barrett.
And I'm Elizabeth Gordon. You've been listening to BusinessRadioX.com, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at AtlantaDowntown.com. We will talk to you next week.